from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. It is the same drive that you were used to, but we are no longer 610 Sports Radio. We are 96.5 The Fan, your first FM home for Kansas City sports. We have brought the Chiefs under one roof, the Royals under one roof. Missouri and K-State are all under the 96.5 The Fan banner. We are all very excited to be here. Doesn't matter how you are listening to the show. Maybe you're still over on the FM side. Maybe you're a podcast listener. Maybe you listen to us on the app. Maybe you have made the switch with us to 96.5 The Fan. We are happy that you are here with us on this wonderful day as we celebrate some exciting new changes that are coming to the station. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will do our daily NFL thought. But before we do that, I have to ask you guys a very important question. And you know what? For this, why don't we use the old text line, 913-586-7610. Eventually, we will have a new number. That number is just not today. 913-586-7610. Training camp has concluded for the Kansas City Chiefs. It is over. It is done. What did we learn about the Chiefs? My answer is actually very, very little. I don't think we learned a lot, but I do think the thing that we learned the most is they might actually have something with Carson Steele. So maybe you guys are not familiar with Carson Steele. He is an undrafted running back. What excites me the most about him as a prospect is we are not talking about a small school guy that has just kind of come out of nowhere and surprised everybody. Carson Steele was a very productive college running back. His freshman year at Ball State, he ran for 900 yards and had 6 touchdowns. He went back to school for his sophomore year at Ball State. He ran for 1,500 yards and had 14 touchdowns. Now, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn. If he would have stayed at Ball State for his junior year, he probably would have ran for 1,700 yards if you look at the way that his career was going. He decided to transfer. That's what the transfer portal was for. I was at a small school. I want to go to a big school. He went to Los Angeles and played at UCLA. Last year, Carson Steele had 167 carries, 847 yards. That is good for 5.1 yards per carry and 6 touchdowns last year. And he caught the ball a little bit out of the backfield, had a little less than 200 yards. He is not a dynamic pass catcher. At least that's not how he was used in college. I thought coming into training camp that a majority of the spots on this team were locked in. I don't think there's a lot of movement on this team. We're talking about one of the 5 most talented teams in the National Football League. We're talking about a team that has won the last 2 Super Bowls, that is currently in the middle of a dynasty. You don't have a lot of roster competition once you get to camp. You know who's making the team, and you feel really confident. We have not seen that movement. The place that we have seen the biggest movement, I think, is in that running back room and is going to be with Carson Steele. Some of you guys play fantasy football, so you know this. You should always be prepared for an injury. What do they call that in fantasy? A handcuff? That if you have a starter, you want to have somebody right there on the back end that if something goes wrong, you got a guy that could step in, help you produce, and can continue what you've been doing. I'm starting to gain more and more confidence that Carson Steele could potentially be that guy for the Kansas City Chiefs. Every year, we can go through it, and we can find an undrafted running back who makes it into the National Football League, and his rookie year gives you a little bit of spark and ends up being a far better producer than you think. Now, I would have a different stance if this was at wide receiver. I'd have a different stance if we were talking about a tight end. But at running back, there is a proven track record and a history there of teams being able to do this. Why can't it be Carson Steele? We're not talking about a guy that played D2 football last year. We're talking about a guy in Carson Steele that played at a high major, played at a high level, and for whatever reason fell through the cracks. I still don't really understand how he fell through the cracks. I mean, I'm doing reading. I'm looking at his combine numbers. It's not like he ran a 4.8 or wasn't strong or just didn't test very well. He tested fine. I don't think that he can be a superstar running back in this league. I also don't think you're needing him to be a superstar running back in this league. Can he be someone who can be productive, can give you a nice change of pace? And what I do like about him, based on what we saw and the very limited chances that we've got to see him so far, is I do think there's a sense of explosiveness there. I've seen enough Clyde Edwards-Helaire to know there ain't no explosiveness there. We would have seen it by now. We've seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire for, 4 years in the National Football League? He has never shown you pop. He has never shown you sizzle. He has never shown you the ability to break off a big play. If it is 2nd and 7, you are not getting a first down if you give the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's going to be 3rd down. Now, it could be 3rd and 8. It could be 3rd and 3. But it is going to be 3rd down when you run another play. I don't know if that's the case with Carson Steele. I mean, he had 4 carries. One of those carries went for 20 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has had 4 carries of over 20 yards in his last 200 carries in the National Football League. The thing that I learned most is they might have something at backup running back with Carson Steele.
Let me ask you this. And you know what? This is the first time on the new station I get to put on my hater hat. Because you know, last year I was hating on the Chiefs. I was wrong to hate on the Chiefs because they won the Super Bowl. But let me just ask the question. What makes Carson Steele different than any of the camp preseason darlings we have seen in the past? Because at this time last year, Justin Ross caught a preseason touchdown. Expectations exploded. Some people thought he was the new Calvin Johnson. A couple years ago, Derek Gore was everyone's favorite St. Joe player. Derek Gore was the next thing. People thought he looked like Priest Holmes.
I do remember that.
That was insanity. We can name player after player after player that was a camp and preseason darling everyone fell in love with, and then they make the roster and nada. Zip, zilch, zero. I think Derek Gore had 200 yards in his entire Chiefs career. He just didn't have it. What separates how you feel about Carson Steele and what you've seen in one preseason game and in one training camp, what separates him from a Derek Gore type, from a Justin Ross this time last year type, from a insert whoever you feel camp darling name? What makes him different? I'm hesitant to buy in and drink this Carson Steele Kool-Aid because I've just been burned a couple times by the St. Joe darling. I think he looks better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but looking better against than Clyde Edwards-Helaire in shorts and a T-shirt at St. Joe is different looking and having the trust of the coaching staff in week 2 against the Cincinnati Bengals. What separates him from other camp darlings? Because I think you're just falling in love with this year's flavor of the month.
Well, I think it's important to note, again, I think it's different if we were talking about wide receiver and Justin Ross. Like, they're all individual cases. Justin Ross has just been banged up for the last 4 years. So I wasn't, you know, last year, I was not coming into it with a lot of expectation. You mentioned Derek Gore. Derek Gore played 2 seasons at Louisiana Monroe. He ran for 585 yards, and then he ran for 662 yards. Carson Steele is exponentially better than what Derek Gore was as a college football player. We just saw Carson Steele in his sophomore year at Ball State ran for more yards than Derek Gore did his entire college football career. Derek Gore started at Alabama. He wasn't good enough to play at Alabama. He then transferred down to a lower level and then wasn't really that good. So, hey, salute to Derek Gore. He made it to the National Football League. Salute to him. I don't think it's fair to put Carson Steele, who ran for 5 yards a carry last year at UCLA, I don't think it's fair to put him in that conversation. And, again, I think it's different because You mention all the time how you wouldn't spend a lot of resources at running back.
Never
and
would.
You always mention because it's easy to find those guys in late rounds or undrafted. I can give you five examples right now of productive running backs who were undrafted, who coming into it, you were like, hey, what's going to be different about this guy? You remember Arian Foster? He didn't get drafted. Pierre Thomas, undrafted. Danny Woodhead, undrafted. Austin Eckler, undrafted. That's just a position where every year there's going to be one or two guys, whether it's a guy like Isaiah Pacheco, who was drafted in the seventh round that turns out to be a Pro Bowl caliber running back, whether it's a guy as in Austin Eckler, who was an undrafted guy that turns out to be a pretty productive player. I'm not telling you that I think Carson Steele is going to be a star or not. I am simply saying that there is a late-round running back or an undrafted running back in the league that is going to greatly exceed expectations. That you pick up one of those players because it's a lottery ticket. It's a lottery ticket that has a good chance of hitting. The Chiefs have a chance that they potentially have that player on their roster. Everything else that happened at camp, I would say, aside from left tackle, is exactly what we thought it was going to be. This wide receiver battle was exactly what you and I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I would say at wide receiver, it's what we thought it was going to be. Sky Moore is not having a good camp because Sky Moore is not a good NFL player. Kadarius Toney has been banged up. He's always been banged up. Nothing happened in St. Joe that came as a shock to anybody that follows or covers this team. The biggest surprise, the biggest shock was they might have something at running back. They did it once with Isaiah Pacheco. Why can't they do it again this time with Carson Steele?
I also understand that. I'm just saying before I buy in and buy Carson Steele stock, and maybe I'm not going to buy on the ground floor, and it won't be this mega winning stock. I was late on Isaiah Pacheco. I didn't buy stock then. Maybe I will look foolish for failing to buy Carson Steele stock, but players like Carson Steele, players like Derek Gore, I know they're not the same. Players like Darius Fountain, and again, I know it's not one for one, but players in that category that dominate in St. Joe, when they got guardian caps and shorts on, are everyone's favorite player. Hey, I was sitting on the hill, and you'll never believe this. Darius Fountain is a steal. Who was the guy last year that people told that they traded to the Panthers? Smith Marset. Smith Marset was a star in St. Joe Carrington. Smith Marset was the find of the century, and they traded him for what, a conditional seventh? He didn't really do anything that made you think, oh, they gave up this great guy. I'm going to be hesitant to buy Carson Steele stock, and maybe I'm wrong, and everything you're saying is right. But fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Smith Marzett, Derek Gore, Darius Fountain, those types have too often been the talk of the preseason, and none of them contribute on the major roster, whether that be in Kansas City or elsewhere.
I just would like to point out with Darius Fountain, to just continue to strengthen my point here, Darius Fountain had 41 catches for 600 yards, at University of Northern Iowa. These guys were okay mid-major players that somehow made it to the NFL. Carson Steele was a star mid-major player that then went to a Power 5 school, had a very solid season, and is now in the National Football League. It is not crazy if UCLA's starting running back turns out to be a productive NFL player. It would be surprising if Northern Iowa's second wide receiver turned out to be a good NFL player. That would be surprising to me. Derek Gore was not a great college player. I make this analogy with Kadarius Toney because you and I both follow college football. Mm-hmm. Romo Dunze was a star wide receiver at Washington. It will not be a surprise to me if he is a star wide receiver in the National Football League. Kadarius Toney had an okay college football career. He put together one decent season. He then turned out to have a disappointing NFL career. I really think that stuff translates. I think that Carson Steele is a much better prospect than you are giving him credit. And I do think his production at the college level, whether it was for running for almost 1,600 yards at Ball State or running for 900 yards last year at UCLA, I can't treat that like he did that at Northwest Missouri State. I think it deserves a lot of credit for what he did. And again, guys like this fall through the cracks every single time. Every single time. I think there's a chance that this kid might have fallen through the cracks. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll continue our NFL conversation. Every day around 3:15, I give you a different NFL thought. Today's thought's going to be simple. Can something happen with Brandon Ayuk? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. And could what possibly be the biggest upset in text line history. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. If I told you at the beginning of camp that I would be super high on the white running back that the Chiefs have, and the text line would be very skeptical of the white running back that the Chiefs have, I wouldn't have believed it. Rob, you're seeing the same text line that I'm seeing. How am I the overly positive one on this subject, and the text line is not? This is the most surprising news that we have ever had before. How is it? When did me and the text line trade places? Last year, the text line was telling you Justin Ross was going to have 1,000 yards. I was the one that was like, hey, can we calm down a little bit on this thing? Like, we're doing a lot here. Every camp darling, the text line has loved Jody Fortson. I was negative. I was Charger Dot. I was being Buzz Killington. Now the Chiefs have a training camp darling. I love the training camp darling. And now the text line's not on board. What is happening here? I want to go back to 610 Sports Radio if this is how it's going to be. Our show has a structure. It has a hierarchy. It works one way. When did I become the positive one on things and you the fan, have become the negative, pessimistic people on the – what has happened? This is nuts. This doesn't make any sense. I cannot believe this. The whole text line is – wait, okay, y'all right, man. Y'all got it. I don't know what's got – we live in a bizarro world right now. I don't know what's happening with the text line. I don't know what's happening with the Chiefs. I don't know how to make sense of anything anymore. I thought I understood. I've done this job long enough that I thought I understood. But every time I think I have you guys figured out, you throw a curveball at me. You throw a curveball.
I mean, what's even more surprising – is that being anti-Carson Steele means you are inherently pro Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has been the opposite of a fan favorite. He's been the fan least favorite for about, what, 12, 14, 16 months now? I will remain a skeptic on Carson Steele, but I was thinking I was going to get smoked by the text line. I thought, okay, I'll be the anti-Chiefs guy for a minute here. I'll come down on the camp darling. The 96.5 The Fan text line is going to be mad at me, but nope. They're with me. Camp darling. It's all fake. Somehow you're Mr. Positive and me and the text line are simpatico hate.
And the text line is saying, why does it matter that he's a white running back? I mean, I just would think the same city that loves Boomer Grigsby, normally that guy kind of plays in Kansas City. It normally works in Kansas City.
You're telling me the town that reveres Mike Mislowski is anti-Carson Steele? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I can't believe it. Like, I see Garrick Dieter rolling around town here. I'm like, bro, Garrick, you caught 200 yards while you were here in Kansas City. I can't believe it. Hey, maybe it's somebody says new station, new dynamics. Oh, I didn't know. I don't know. I'm surprised. You guys have caught me here. Don't you know what? We gotta restore some order. I'm going to tell people that I like Joe Burrow, and they're going to tell me that
here
he stinks.
Here we go. Now we're getting back to our roots.
Yeah, we got to get back to that. I got to tell people that I think Joe Burrow could one day win a Super Bowl. And then it'll be like, then we'll all get back on the same page. I'll be happy.
Why don't you talk about Lamar Jackson in a positive light?
Yeah.
That'll get people
fired
up.
That's it.
Lamar Jackson, the MVP, he's good at football. Oh, how dare you?
Yeah, we got to get back to that point. All right, this is the NFL thought. This is the NFL topic I would like to have for today. I'm over.
Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs' title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick in Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
I'm tired of this Brandon Ayuk story.
All right, welcome back into The Drive.
I'm tired of it. I cannot do it. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense to me. So this is the latest. This is what we know about Brandon Ayuk. This is the information that we have. This is what we know. At any point, if San Francisco wants to make the deal with Pittsburgh, they can. It's ready. It is done. It is set in stone. If you want to trade Brandon Ayuk to Pittsburgh, they are ready to receive said player. San Francisco is still trying to talk and work it out and see if they can reach an agreement and see if they can work a deal, this, that, and the third. But I don't care anymore. I mean, I care, but I also don't care. At some point, either do it or don't. The number is the number. We know how much it costs if you want to keep Brandon Ayuk on your roster. We know how much you want to keep. We know. If you want to keep Brandon Ayuk, it's going to cost between $25 and $30 million to do that. We also know the guaranteed money it's going to cost for Brandon Ayuk. Now, maybe Brandon Ayuk is ready to cut you a little bit of a deal because he'd rather play for San Francisco than New England. New England offered him a four-year, $128 million deal, and he said no to that. Now, maybe he wants that same deal from San Francisco. If San Francisco was going to offer him that deal, he would be playing right now. He'd be practicing right now. He has missed a month of practices for the San Francisco 49ers. So my NFL thought for today is the last day we are talking about Brandon Ayuk until he gets traded. Yes, I'm ready to make that decree. I'm ready to say that right now. I do not want to talk about Brandon Ayuk anymore. A deal is on the table. It is in your email. Either accept the deal or decline the deal. Either play for San Francisco or go play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are the only two possible options that are there. There is no third team. There is no mystery team that's coming. Pittsburgh has agreed. San Francisco has to agree. They got to get you on board. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of conversations about this. I just want to know what team Brandon Ayuk is going to play for. Now, if he goes to play for Pittsburgh, it don't really change my opinion too much on Pittsburgh. I don't think they're a playoff team. If he is not playing on San Francisco, it does change my opinion. And is he not playing on San Francisco enough to make the Detroit Lions the favorite in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl? I will be keeping an eye on this. We obviously will report if something happens, but Matthew Judon, we've already seen that come to a conclusion. The Hassan Riddick deal, the Jets have told him, we are not trading you. You need to come to work. There's only one player in the NFL that is holding things up for his team. Even at some point, we believe that CeeDee Lamb is going to report and play for the Dallas Cowboys. There is one player that we are waiting to see what's going to happen. It is Brandon Ayuk. So I promise you right now, here on 96.5 The Fan, at least on this time slot, I can't speak for nobody else's show. From 2 to 6, this is the last time that I will talk about Brandon Ayuk until it is 100% that he is staying in San Francisco, or it is 100% that he is going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Let me ask you a question, because it was a few weeks ago on this show, different station, but it was this show, so I'll now bring the question to 96.5 The Fan.
Okay.
I said, are you starting to look at the Niners different? And you looked at me funny because I said there's a little bit of cracks in the foundation out there. At the time, Trent Williams was holding out. The best left tackle in the NFL was saying, nah, I'm good. I don't think we have a resolution to the Trent Williams thing unless it happened when I was on vacation. Brandon Ayuk, that story hasn't changed at all. Now, he was going to kind of come back, then he was going to get traded. There's been a lot of drama, it looking more and more like Brandon Ayuk out of San Francisco. Bush Light boy Brock Purdy is due for a pay here in about 12 months. George Kittle is a year older. Christian McCaffrey, as our late great friend Travis Pillar used to say, only has so many hits on his body. That's how running back works. Fred Warner's a year older. Bosa's a year older. Everyone's getting a little older out in San Francisco. They're also having a lot of money problems in San Francisco, and it's almost time to pay your quarterback, which changes the calculus. Are you starting to see the cracks in the foundation in San Francisco the way I did? Because I'm not saying this is going to happen, but it is a possibility that in a week, 2 weeks, when we have Sean Barber on the show, we do our NFL predictions, that I will have the Lions predicted to win the NFC because they've been quiet. They've been steady Eddie. Their young players are going to take a step forward. And the Niners, they're not, you know, noisy, but they ain't quiet over there in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I guess you and I are just different on what noise is. To me, noise is more off-season things. Contract stuff is just, that's what August is. August is, this is your last chance to get paid. Deadlines make deals. So I understand how you are hyper-aggressive in trying to get a deal done. Last year, Kansas City was in the exact same spot. They won the Super Bowl last year. Their best defensive player, he was showing up to games in suits and ties with his agent and doing all this kind of stuff. That's just what this time is. Now, let me see how things conclude for the San Francisco 49ers. It's not like the Chiefs traded Chris Jones to another team. They kept Chris Jones on the team, and they figured out a contract. what team is Brandon Ayuk playing for? If Brandon Ayuk goes to play for Pittsburgh and now you take the second-best offensive option off of San Francisco, I'm willing to have that conversation. What happens with Trent Williams? We just still have a lot of unanswered questions about San Francisco, and that's not that bad to have on August 15th. Once we get to September 1st, we need to start having these questions answered for San Francisco and what they look like heading into next season. All right, coming up on the other side, let's get back to talking about the Kansas City Royals. They have an off day today, and they head into a three-game series this weekend against the Cincinnati Reds. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Pay off the tees. If you say you're going to talk about something before the break, you got to talk about it because the listener was kind enough to stick around with you throughout the break. I try to do that 99% of the time. I said we were going to talk about the Royals. We're not going to talk about the Royals. Anytime somebody who has a Super Bowl ring sits down next to you, you got to talk to him. Mitchell Schwartz, all-pro left-right tackle, joining us on the show today. Look at that.
This is a different environment for you, so you're not exactly sure how to intro me. You know, the cool music.
I know.
Just call me left tackle. I would have made more money and more Pro Bowls if that were the case, but unfortunately, I was not athletic enough to be one.
How are you doing today, man? It's been a while since I've seen you.
Doing good. This is a cool little shindig, so excited to be here.
We don't have any fast food today, man. We just got regular food today for
you. Yeah, just regular food. Rob's been eating for all 5 minutes I've been sitting here, so.
Rob couldn't wait. I've never seen Rob get up so much. He's like, oh, I don't have to work for a little bit. Rob couldn't wait to not work.
I mean, I'd love to eat as much as he seems to do and stay that skinny, so that's a talent level I don't have.
There's a lot of football I want to talk to you about, but you recently have become a father. You got a baby girl now. How was being a new pops?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, we figured out we just needed to keep feeding her until she was happy. And once we got that settled, then we were able to kind of figure out the sleep situation, and that's coming along. But she's awesome. I mean, she's been great. Brooke's been an amazing mom, like I expected, and is handling the sleep deprivation as good as possible. It's a little difficult, you know, being the mom and having to feed as often as she does. But, no, it's cool. It's a lot of fun. She's getting more interactive, smiling and responding, and that's really, really awesome.
When do you think your dad's strength kicks in? Like, at what point do you think, because they always say you get dad strength. When do you think that, I mean, you play in the NFL, so you're already strong. When does that kick in?
Yeah, I mean, I played in the NFL, so that lifting regimen was many moons ago. I will say I felt like I got my old man strength in the NFL around, like, my fifth or sixth year, maybe sixth year. So probably it was at age 28 or so. I feel like the dad strength comes in. I mean, she's still around the 11-pound range. She's only 2 months old, so I'd imagine once she gets more to like 15, 20 pounds and you're having to lug her around, you know, as she's getting up there in weight, I think that's when, like, you know, because right now you hold her with one arm. I mean, I do. She weirdly likes being held like a football. Doesn't make any sense to me, but if I try to cradle her in my arm like a normal, you know, person holds a baby, doesn't seem to love it. I don't know if I'm too soft or not soft enough or whatever, but she doesn't seem to like that. So holding her like a football works, and I can do it for the most part. Arm gets a little tired, but I would imagine once we get to that 15, 20-pound range, that's when, you know, the soreness will go away and I'll just be all strength all the time.
I'm going to ask you a question I've never got a chance to ask you before, and I'm really excited for this. You know, you and your wife like to go on vacations. You know, you're happy people, married people, love to travel and see the world. Have you ever been in any of those spots and you thought, man, I miss St. Joe. I just miss those times in the dorm. I just miss training camp. Have you ever had that moment?
No, I've had a lot of times where I've been somewhere else, seen the guys practicing, and thought, I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. It's okay. My St. Joe thing is I don't think it's as bad or as miserable as everyone else makes it out to be. It's kind of fun and easy to play up the, oh, it's St. Joe, and this is terrible, and we're going away for 3 weeks. But it's really not that bad. Coach does a good job balancing out the schedule. Now they get an off day like every fourth or fifth day, which is, you know, we used to get one once a week. The schedule is way reduced. Practice is at 9:05, not 8:05. You have to be done by like 8 p.m. Used to be 9:30 or 10. So everything's condensed, and he still is able to space it out so you get those, you know, chunks throughout the day to take breaks and, you know, to nap or to ice bath or to recover. And it's just not that long of a period in general. And so I think, again, it's easy to play it up, you know, guys like to play up the long drive drill and talk about how miserable that is. I never thought that was that bad either. It's just it's a bunch of football plays in a row, and if the defense is doing what they're supposed to and they're not subbing, then they get more tired than you do. And so by play nine, they're tired, you're less tired, benefit you. St. Joe's, you go there, you get good work done. You know, you have enough time to see the family and to do other things you need to do. And so, yeah, I never looked forward to it. I never enjoyed necessarily the time there, but I also don't, you know, hold that same kind of, oh, this is so terrible, that maybe some other people do.
Who was the most famous person that came by when you were there? Because yesterday we saw that Rasheed Wallace was there, who was, like, oddly like a major Chiefs fan. Like, I would love to hear the story of how Rasheed Wallace became a big Chiefs fan. I saw a picture yesterday where he got to meet Patrick Mahomes. You know, you played on a prominent team. You guys were a Super Bowl team. Somebody came through camp that you were like, oh, hey, so-and-so is here.
He was probably watching your YouTube videos and said, that guy looks a lot like me. I got to invest in this team. So that's why, you know, she became a fan. No, that's a good question. I mean, honestly, a lot of the former Chiefs guys are, you know, the most famous people that you know. In terms of celebs, I can't remember a ton of them coming by. I mean, like Eric Stone Street, you know, likes to come every now and again, and, you know, he has fun with the Randy Reed thing, and, you know, probably he's up there in terms of, you know, truly like non-Chiefs people. When I was in Cleveland, LeBron came by. And I think Condoleezza Rice did one of the days, too, which...
She almost, you know, was your guys' general manager, wasn't she?
But my pay grade. But, no, I think those are two pretty big names I remember in Cleveland. But Kansas City, I don't know, for whatever reason, I can't remember, like, you know, celebs kind of beyond the Stone Street or some of the other local Kansas City guys.
One thing that has always stood out to me about Chiefs training camp is how efficient it is and how it doesn't feel like there's a lot of time that's being wasted. Like, whenever a drill is over, somebody blows a whistle, and it's not like guys are walking to do the next thing. Like, you guys are getting a lot done, it feels like, in a very condensed amount of time.
Well, you're not supposed to be walking, so that's one of the things. You know, you're supposed to, you know, kind of sashay your way over to the next drill and make it look like you're running when you're not actually running. That's the O-line way to do it. What's funny is Coach actually has longer practices than most other teams, and so you look at that practice and you say, oh, it's pretty efficient, and they're getting guys in and out, and we're moving on to the next drill. I mean, Kyle Shanahan, they have two-hour practices. You know, Coach Reed still pushes up to that 2.5 hours, which is the limit now. Back in the day, we used to, you know, every now and again push up to the three-hour limit. And other teams are having hour 45, hour 50, two-hour practices. And so I always kind of wondered, is that why he's so good in September and early in the season? You know, because he pushes us the way he does, because we get work done, we're efficient, but we're also out there for a longer duration. Does it simulate a game, you know, more closely to maybe what some of these other teams do that, you know, practice hard and practice fast, but not quite on the field as long as we do. I also kind of feel like, I mean, this is Coach Reed and Rick Burkholder as well, but I feel like injury-wise, the Chiefs have always been, you know, kind of ahead of the game in that perspective. Is there something to how they do it and how they're able to push us? And, you know, as the season rolls around, then you're not having the soft tissue injuries because you're used to the volume, you're used to the capacity that they make us do throughout training camp. Obviously, it's working for him. I mean, he's one of the best coaches of all time. There's kind of a sneaky fun Coach Reed versus Belichick discussion to be had in the near future. But, no, it's practice is built out the way it needs to be. And they don't just, like, push. They know when to back off. There are periods that are scripted to be a little bit slower. And so you are kind of simulating, even within a practice, what a game feels like where, you know, you have your 8 plays, you have your 12 plays. You go stand on the sidelines, the defense comes on the field, obviously from the offensive player's perspective. You know, some drills are up-tempo, some drills are backed off and walk-through tempo. So they kind of mix and match that throughout the practice as well. So it's efficient, and there's also purpose with every single thing that you're doing.
Right now we're joined in studio by Mitchell Schwartz, All-Pro right tackle, joining us. You are our first in-studio guest on 96.5 The Fan. I mean, that's an honor. That's going to be a trivia question one day.
It sure will be, and, you know, I hope I get something really huge and memorable to bring home so that I can commemorate this, you know, amazing achievement in my life.
We can get you, like, a fake football card. They're doing, like, little fake football cards. If you have real football cards, you don't have a 96.5 The Fan football card, though.
That is correct. Maybe I can get you and Rob on one.
All right, no.
Get your career stats on the back. Maybe get the signature at the bottom.
I will very happy.
You got however many Lombardi trophies you guys have earned at the bottom, too, you know, the way the Chiefs do it with the signatures now. So, yeah, I need some cards of you guys.
I do want to get your opinion on this. Can you walk me through how important training camp is, or is this something that is just player by player? Like last year, Chris Jones did not participate in training camp. CeeDee Lamb not participating in training camp this year. Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams. Like, there are a lot of prominent players who, for whatever reason, contract, holding out, whatever reason it is, they are not here at this time in the season. What are you building as a team during training camp? How important is it to be there during training camp?
I would say to that last point, maybe the camaraderie is the least important, at least depends on the position. You know, Ayuk and Purdy have had 2 years together now. A lot of these combination, you know, CeeDee and Dak have had 3 or 4 years whenever he was drafted together. You know, they're not going to fall out of, you know, favor with each other in terms of the timing and all that stuff. In terms of football shape, I always thought camp was really important. I mean, I would come in every year, feel like I was in pretty good shape. I mean, our conditioning test wasn't anything too crazy, but, you know, pass it pretty easily. And the first or second day of camp, you're just exhausted, and you're like, man, I thought I came in pretty good shape. There's just nothing that simulates football shape. You can have any workout that you want in kind of any scenario that you script it, but there's just something different to practice and to being on the field and to being in your pads and to doing it together than working out on your own. And so I think for the most part, when guys hold out, and we've seen it, I mean, honestly, with the Niners, with Bosa and with Debo, and they both admitted after the fact, you know, holding out kind of messed up the flow of their season, their work, you know, how ready they were to come in. Remember, you know, Joey Bosa's rookie year, he was holding out for that rookie contract, came in, I think maybe got hurt right away because of that. So I think guys who don't show up to camp, there's a much bigger detriment than there is a benefit. There are some guys, you know, Trent Williams, yeah, probably doesn't need a full camp. He wasn't practicing every practice anyway. I can almost guarantee that without actually knowing. You know, he was getting the proper rest and spacing of practice. So there are some guys that probably need less. I mean, I would say an offensive lineman, especially a guy so physically gifted, you know, probably just needs to get the timing down. And once his timing down is down, he's good for the rest of the year. So he doesn't need it as much. Ayuk, again, understands Purdy. They get it. But getting the volume of routes run in a team situation against, you know, defensive backs, can't imagine he's finding defensive backs to guard him in his workouts that have anywhere near the skill level that the Niners DBs do. So I think the on-field work is the hardest thing to acclimate to in terms of how your legs feel, how your wind is, what the physical side of it looks like. And that's where if you come in and you just kind of expect it, you know, 3 or 4 weeks into camp to get right in and go with the flow, you are asking for an injury in terms of being behind and not being, you know, ready enough to do it. Or you're going to start slow and you're not going to feel like yourself, and you're going to kind of drag the first part of the season, and who knows how long, you know, that could affect you into the rest of the year.
What does that mean for somebody like Hollywood Brown, who is obviously in a different space than CeeDee Lamb is or Brandon Ayuk? You don't have that work that's been built up with the quarterback. You are in a new team, new offense, new situation. You're done for the rest of camp, and it looks like you're going to miss a couple of games to start the regular season. That now you got to find that rhythm. You got to find that timing early on.
Yeah, it's obviously not as ideal. I don't know what that recovery looks like. You know, I'd imagine with a clavicle that the breaks or whatever that thing is, you probably can't go back to running right away. There's probably some pounding on the shoulder that doesn't feel so good. But if you're a receiver and you're going to get injured, you'd probably want an upper body injury so that as you're going through the healing process, you can still run, you can still get your leg work in. You know, you don't lose. He got, you know, 2 weeks in a coach re-training camp in terms of the volume of pass plays and routes run. He and Pat do have some chemistry. Obviously, first play of the game goes to him, and I know Pat's been excited about what Hollywood's been able to show in camp when we've seen all the videos. So it's not as ideal as, you know, some guys who are more established, but seems like they kind of have a feel for things as it is. And yeah, there will be a bit of a reacclimation period once he's healthy enough to get going. I think you just have to kind of work through that. It'll be in the season most likely, and you know, you will be doing preparation for the upcoming game as you're kind of getting him back in the flow. So, you know, probably a little bit smaller of a package once he comes back than normal, just to make sure, you know, he and Pat are on the same page about everything. But you got two guys that are, I guess we'd probably consider Hollywood a vet by now. Smart football players, good football players. He's always been really good when he's on the field. And you kind of trust that they'll be able to figure it out once regular season comes.
We got Mitchell Schwartz here for a couple more minutes. I got two questions, and I'll get you out of here. The first question is, every football fan is talking about it. What are your thoughts on the new kickoff rule?
I think it's good. I think anything you can do to kind of bring more football plays to football is probably good. It does seem like they need to push back the touchback line to the 35 like the XFL one was, because right now, I mean, again, incredibly small sample size, but if the average starting field position is the 29, you can just kick it out of the end zone and get it at the 30 or give it to them at the 30. Why wouldn't you just kick it out of the end zone, not ever risk a touchdown and have no injuries and just be done with it? So I think that needs addressing, because it's too easy to just kick it out of the end zone now and just kind of say, all right, you can have it at the 30 and we're not going to risk anything bad happening. But it was extremely successful, and that's why it was implemented in the NFL. And it sounds like they're already kind of tweaking it and trying to figure out what rules to come out with to make it exactly what they want it to be. But, yeah, I think, you know, they got away from the PAT because it was like a 99% play and it became a 93% play, and they were happy with that. And so now you're looking at touchbacks and you're looking at a much bigger gap than, you know, 6% different in terms of how many more kicks are going to be returned. So I think it's good for the game. It's going to take everyone some adjustment. As all the TV stations, they all have their own graphic trying to explain it like as concisely and thoroughly as possible right before each kickoff. And so I wonder how long that's going to happen, because it is such a big change. But we'll get used to it, and I think we'll enjoy it. And you know, these special teams coaches, it's just the first year of it, and so they're going to keep learning. They're going to keep adding some fun things. We're probably going to see more reverses, trick plays. You know, it's more of a run play than it is kind of an old-school kickoff return. So there is going to be a lot more fun in terms of what we see from it, and it's also going to be more fun from the coaching and scouting perspective of how you can actually scheme those returns.
Give me one team that you think is coming into the season a little bit under the radar. Give me a team that you think right now is being talked about way too much that is setting up for a very disappointing year.
So my under-the-radar team actually was the Chargers until Herbert's injury, and then now I'm a little nervous about that.
That's how I know football season is back, if the Chargers are dealing with a critical injury to a starter.
Yes. My other My other team was New England, not because I thought they were going to be good. I just didn't think they were going to be – I think their win total is like 4, 4.5, 5. I thought they were an 8-9 team, which to me, if you're 3 or 4 wins above your expected, that's an under-the-radar team. But then they go and trade Judon, and it seems pretty obvious that, you know, that defense that was one of the best in the league last year until he and Gonzalez and a couple other guys got hurt. Barmore's out with blood clots. I mean, I had a teammate in Cleveland who had that, never played football again. Not to say it's the same, but usually blood clot, you got to go on certain medicines that are thinners, and then you can't really come back that season because you got to make sure the clots aren't coming back. So, and all best defensive tackle, possibly not playing the rest of the year. Edge rusher traded. So, yeah, it was going to be New England and the Chargers, and then both of them, you know, had things happen that made me say, oh, maybe they're going to be, you know, as bad as predicted. A team that's getting a lot of hype, I just think Baltimore, they had such an amazing year last year. This isn't like a Baltimore's bad or Baltimore's not going to be good. I think, to me, from what I've seen, they're kind of slated as the number two team in the AFC. It's like Chiefs, Baltimore, maybe Buffalo, the Milano injuries. Now, another one that I would have said they're going to be better than I expected, but Milano gets hurt. And so I think Baltimore's going to be really good, but last year was like the best case scenario, especially with the advanced data. You look at like top offense, DVOA, top defense, obviously special teams with Tucker is amazing. And they lose a few guys. They replenish a little bit at corner, but like, they were so good last year. I just don't see them being as good. So if they're the fourth, fifth, sixth best team in the AFC, I think that's very plausible. But I think they're getting talked about as the second or third best team in the AFC. So, yeah, those would probably be my teams.
That is our guy, Mitchell Schwartz, joining us in studio. Always happy to catch up with you, my man. Congratulations again to you and your fans. The first time I've seen you since you became a Pops, man. Congratulations.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. I didn't realize it's been that long, but I think time flies when you're stuck at home with a kid.
That is our guy, Mitchell Schwartz, joining us in studio. Coming up on the other side, we're going to try to get Danny Hughes from the Chiefs Radio Network to stop by and get his thoughts on Hollywood Brown and the Chiefs wide receiver room. That's coming up. You're listening to The Drive right here on 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
We're at
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.